Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Welcome to the show, Cammie. I'm so excited to have you on here. First, let's start off with some icebreakers so people get to know you. I'm sure you probably get asked this a lot, but are you related to Matt LeBlanc from the show's Friends? Obviously, everybody knows the show Friends.
Yeah, no, I'm not. And also, I've never watched the show Friends, so it makes it even funnier, I think.
You know what's crazy is I have not either. I think I've seen like a half episode.
Yeah, so. Everyone is, I mean, in the U.S., everyone's like obsessed with that show, it seems like, but I'm from Canada, so I just, they ask and I'm like, one, no,
overrated.
And two, I don't really know who that is.
So it's not big in Canada, huh? That show is just not that popular?
No, I think especially because I'm from the French-Canadian side, like, mm-hmm. we watch TV in French, so...
Yeah, like so the jokes just don't hit.
Yeah, I discovered The Office, like, 2 years ago, and...
Oh, wow. Well, you're ahead of me, because I've not watched episodes of The Office either, so that's amazing. We actually should hang out and watch TV, since we don't watch Friends or The Office.
Yeah, I guess we both just don't watch much TV.
All right, so next icebreaker. What is the dumbest accomplishment that you are most proud of?
The dumbest? Gosh, I really don't know. Do you have one?
Ooh, good question. Dumbest accomplishment.
That might like that help me think about something.
I know, now
myself.
That the tables are turned. I'm probably the fastest airport walker in the world. Like, I don't think I've ever been passed in the airport. It's just a competitive nature. Even if I don't have a flight to catch, like, immediately, I still am going to outwalk everyone in the airport.
That's pretty funny.
It's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
It's pretty dumb.
But you did it.
I do it because I am highly competitive, even in walking against average people in the airport that are not Olympic athletes.
Yeah.
And they don't even know I'm racing them, and I'm totally racing them.
I love that. I'm like quite the scientist in the kitchen. And I mean, I've done like experiment and I force.
Oh, that's awesome.
I force my husband to eat anything I make.
So. Yeah, I like that. So you're the opposite of me. Like when I'm cooking, I cannot change. If that recipe says 2 tablespoons of sugar, I'm going to measure it out. I am never going to guess it. I'm by the book, so.
Yeah, I kind of am by the book because I'm an engineer, so we're very, like, logical.
Oh.
But I'm also a problem solver, so as I, like, diet or try to, you know, have more protein in my diet and things like that, like, I'll see a chocolate cake and I'm like, okay, I need to figure out how to do this with, like,
wow.
the right, like, macronutrients.
So you're saying I need to come over and have a meal.
Yes, and I'll always pretty much be healthy. Unless
awesome.
It's Saturday night, then we go like crazy.
Cheap meals, I'm all about that too. Okay, so do you feel like you've already had your 15 minutes of fame? And for what?
I mean, I think like to answer that question, I guess for me, it's more like I don't think I care about that. I think younger, it's like you're trying to prove yourself and everything. And as you get older, it's like, who are you proving yourself to? It's like so silly. So I just want to help people and build something awesome. And for the rest, I really don't care. It's, it's fleeting. If I can get the fame to help more people, let's do that. But if... You know, nothing comes for free. So
that's such a good answer. That's, that is really, truly humble. I'm totally vain and keep trying to get my 15 minutes and failing miserably because I try to get it on Instagram and then I'm just getting older and older and my, it's really hard to get those likes and I try to go on TikTok and the kids are all so young. So
yeah,
I like your answer because it's grounded me and it's shown me how shallow of a person I really am.
Well, You can't change what you're not aware of. That's another
thing.
I'm
very aware now, so I'm going to definitely take your advice, and I think you've helped out a lot of people. So that's it for the icebreakers. Love getting to know you a bit more.
And we're all going to go cry for 10 minutes and come back.
So, Camille, I have to let the people know a little bit about yourself, because some of these things I didn't even know. You were a former gymnast, which is incredible. That's such a hard sport. You're considered one of CrossFit's most enduring athletes. In 2014, you earned a title of the fittest woman on earth, and you finished in the top 10 in 4 out of your 7 CrossFit Games appearances. That is a lengthy, strong, just legacy.
We'll go with the 9 appearance.
9 appearances?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know why. The stats are always off everywhere, and I'm like...
Not accurate, but still, it's still a very lengthy amount of time that you stay consistently in the top, which is hard to do in sport. And your twin sister recently competed in Tokyo in weightlifting for Team Canada. Mm-hmm. And so I just have to know, as a fellow Olympian, like, what was that like for you watching her compete and but not being able to actually watch her, you know, in person because of COVID? You had to stay back and watch back home.
Yeah, you know, it was definitely an interesting situation because I was pregnant in 2020. So just like being pregnant and COVID was hitting and the Olympic were supposed to like still happen, there was pretty much no way I could go and do it because, you know, I was definitely a high risk and I was super sick during my pregnancy. So when they kind of pushed it back to the next year, I was stoked because I was like, maybe I'll be able to go this time, and then still couldn't go. But I think, like, you know, on my side, being a professional athlete and seeing my sister going through all of this, I definitely had a different way of seeing it than just like the general population at home that don't understand like the sacrifice and hard work that goes in. And now all the athletes that are peaking for 2020 have to put one more year and try to peak again, like maybe in 3 months, maybe in another 3 months. And it was really hard to see like my sister going through that because it was so much unknown. And I like just wanted her to be happy. And she injured herself so many times in like that year leading up to it. So for me at home, when I was watching her, I was like, I just like want you to like just enjoy the experience. Like, don't put pressure on yourself. Don't like, you know, try to play the hero. Just like be yourself, enjoy it, and you're an Olympian, and that by itself is a huge accomplishment. And that's what she did. So I was stoked, like in weightlifting, and I mean it kind of like same thing for you, Lolo. Like, your sport is so quick that it's like all this work, then like, boom, you're done. Like, my sport, at least it's 5 days. So if you like mess up on one of the events, like, you know, you slap your...
You can bounce
back.
Yeah,
you slap yourself in the face and you get back on it. But this is it. Like, you just... So, you know, weightlifting, you need to make the lift. And it's like 3 attempts and that's it. So I was just praying for her to get the score pretty much. I was like, just make 2 lifts. And we're like, we're stoked, you're an Olympian. That's it. And she did. So I was super happy for her.
Well, I love that you talked about how much it takes to go into an Olympic push, and that you were able to see what a lot of people didn't realize is trying to hold on for another 1 month or 3 months and just the unknowns. I think some of the Olympians that made this team, it was the hardest team to make just because of so many unknowns. It really played a lot on their mental, you know, preparations and also their physical as well. So very good insight.
In Canada, I mean, I know all countries were different with COVID, but like in Canada, the gym were closed. So like everyone that were going to the Olympic, there was a point that they couldn't train. Like, they could not go to any physical gym and get like coaching, and they couldn't have their coach come to their house if they had the equipment. Like, so it was like, I mean, it's like a lot.
So how was your sister? How was your sister weightlifting? I mean, I was personally hurtling my couch during COVID.
Yeah.
because we didn't, the tracks, they closed the tracks, they closed the gyms. There was really nowhere to work out at.
Well, so she would go to my parents' garage because we have like equipment there. Since, you know, I was a professional athlete and then I moved out a long time ago, but they also train. So they just know that when we would come to visit, we would have to train. So they did kind of have what she needed, but like, I mean, you do what you got to do, right? And that's it.
Yeah. Well, great answers. And the other thing that I have to share that I thought was so interesting about you is that you have a degree in chemical engineering. I think that is, I don't even know how you pulled that off. I was trying to find the easiest degree as an athlete in college, and you literally chose one of the hardest. So,
yeah, I, you know, I started my degree in engineering, and that same year, that's when I like kind of like started doing CrossFit. And when I started, I was so broke, like literally was stealing peanut butter from my roommate to feed myself. And I was like going really like, I don't know what to say.
So she would have noticed just a little bit.
Yeah, I would go like in the same like crease that she... Oh, it's, I mean, again, you do what you have to do. And I used to use fitness as like kind of a stress reliever for me for like all the study and vice versa. And it was just, and also I had no money, so I didn't have a computer. I didn't have a phone. I got like a cell phone when I was like 23, which I think people now would be like, oh my God. And it was like those little BlackBerry thing that was like so yeah. Tiny.
BlackBerry, hey, BlackBerry used to be my phone of choice. So I am not definitely discounting your BlackBerry skills or I was a late bloomer in the phone age too, so I get it. But yeah, it's very frustrating for your friends now that have grown up on phones, and it's like a phone is attached. I wouldn't even know how to survive without a phone anymore. Like I don't think I could. Could you?
Yeah, definitely.
You could?
Oh yeah. I mean, I love the idea of people not being able to reach me and having my quiet time and spending time with my family. And not,
what if there's an emergency, though? That's what I like.
Yeah,
the most. Like,
yeah. I mean, if there's an emergency, I would take it.
I need to call someone.
Oh man, Lolo, we need to help you. Like, we need to teach you some life skill here.
Yeah, flat tire. I'm calling someone. Dinner. Calling someone.
That's hilarious.
Let's call on my phone. Everything's on my phone. What do I? Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, coming back to the question, like I started like I guess CrossFit when I was in school, so for me it was like kind of together that it started. And I like would use like the mindset for both, like if I can study a full chapter and get through it, like I can get through my workout type of deal, and vice versa. So I really like this, like one was challenging myself, like, you know, mentally, and the other one physically. And then I just became obsessed. So but it was
hard. I got distracted because your gorgeous kid just came through the background. I was like, baby.
She's awesome.
Yeah. How old is she now?
One.
Oh, I don't even know. What is her name?
Zoe.
Zoe. Great, great name. 1 year. Oh, my gosh. So what's the most amazing thing? They're probably changing so fast paced at this age. What's her thing right now that she's learning how to do or testing out her body right now?
Oh gosh, she's affirming herself a lot right now. So like she's aware that, you know, if you put her down and she yells, like we know. It's almost bedtime right now.
Yeah, so
that's why
she knows right now it's bedtime and she's like just fighting it.
Yeah, she hates sleeping. Like she's so scared of missing out on everything. But she does a lot of funny things. She like plays peekaboo right now. So she'll put like a blanket and she like looks at you. She tries to climb on everything and she like licks my face and she thinks it's funny.
Aww,
which
so cute.
It's awesome.
All right, Camille. So I've followed you for many years on Instagram. I followed your CrossFit journey and I've just been totally inspired by seeing that. And now you're transitioning to other things. But I've always wondered as an Olympic athlete, what the difference between competing for the Olympics in our sports versus CrossFit, because CrossFit looks incredibly difficult. And I just learned earlier when you were talking about it, it's a 5-day competition, which is brutal.
Yeah.
You know, we don't really have that in, you know, we'll have the decathlon is a 2-day event, and then swimming, if you have multiple events, you can compete over a course of like 7 to 10 days. But what do you think the biggest differences are? I mean, now that your sister is an Olympian, that you can kind of see and compare to your sport?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest differences is that, you know, for us, it's every year. So like every year, like, you like get to be seen at like the biggest competition, and like there's like eyes on you every year, which is, you know, part of it is great to build like branding and like notoriety in the sport and all of that stuff. But the downside of that is that it's so much. Like there's never a break. Like you yes. compete at the highest level, then like have this like post-competition depression that like takes a month or two out of your life. And like 2 months later, you're already back trying to qualify for the next year. So if you get injured, like if anything happens, the turnaround is so fast and so consuming, like mentally and physically. But at least you have a shot every year. So if you're going to peak, like, you know, for example, at the Olympic, you have 4 years and you're peaking like 2 years before the Olympic. And then like something happened, like, or you get hurt the year of the Olympic. Like it's a long time to come back, so it's like heartbreaking, and you might have missed, you know, your peak physical like window of like, you know, when I was, for example, 27, that's when like my body was like primed to be the best, and then hormones change and things happen. And I definitely saw that like with my sister, cause in 2020, she was like breaking all the Canadian record and she was doing amazing. And when she got to the Olympics, she went to the Olympic with like 5 cortisone shots in her hips and her back, and was like 20 kilo from her best ever. And it was almost just like surviving and just represent the country well. And I think we've seen that with a lot of athletes in, you know, America, Canada, all over the world, that the previous year you're like, ooh, definitely like got a huge shot at a medal. And then the, you know, 2021 happened and you're like, they like finish like 12th and you're like, wow, it's like, so I think there's like good and bad about it. The good is that you're kind of always there, and the bad is you're kind of always there.
Yeah.
It's consuming. There's no life. There's no break.
Yeah. I mean, you're right about that. I mean, some sports, do have world championships every year. Like I'm in bobsled and we have a world championships every year. It's not the Olympics, but we do have a chance to compete at a high event every year. And there's not, like you said, there's not much turnaround. By the time the season ends, you get like a month and then you're like back at it again. But the difference is, you know, it's a 2-day competition. It's not a 5-day competition, which has to be, immensely grueling on just, total aspects of just mental, physical training. So,
yeah. And the other thing, about like what I did in CrossFit is, you don't know what you're doing, which I think it's a huge difference between any Olympic sport and this, is like, you like get ready for an unknown test. So like at the CrossFit game, you never know what you're going to be tested on. So it might be a 1 rep max deadlift into, you know, 800 as fast as you can, like 800 meter as fast as you can. And then the next year you're like swimming a mile and you're doing like, you know, pull up, handstand walk and backflip. Like, so you're like getting ready for so much unknown and you're almost hoping it like falls in line.
Yeah. Well, there's an event like that in the Olympics. It's actually, I don't know if you were aware of, especially it happened in Tokyo. There's the one involving, it's like the modern pentathlon. And so they have all these different events. And yes, they can prepare for the events just like you can prepare in CrossFit. But the difference is like they can't pick their horses. So there was a huge debacle at the Tokyo Games because a German athlete had, you only get 20 minutes to establish a relationship with your horse. And you've never met this horse before. And this German athlete was winning gold medal, great position to win gold medal. And the horse just would not take to her, like refused, like just very, very stubborn. And the athlete was in tears And yeah, it cost her the medal. So you can't prepare for that.
I'm laughing, but I'm sure it was horrible for her. But
oh, it was horrible.
Gosh, we need to make a whole like TV show about that. That's content right there.
No, it will actually turn out really bad for her because her coach told her to kick the horse. And then like, yeah. So then it became viral, this German athlete kicking her horse. Or not really her horse, but the horse that she was given.
That's insane.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was not a good scenario for Germany, the athlete. They're calling now to change the whole event. But the one thing I will say about that event that I like that, you know, and it's really, and I like with CrossFit is the unknown, because that really does show the adaptability mm-hmm. an athlete can have. And the mental toughness to adapt within a competition. And so,
yeah,
I think that's really cool. So, now that you've kind of explained more about CrossFit, I just have to personally ask you, and I already know my answer. Do you think CrossFit should be an Olympic event?
No, I don't think so.
No? Why not?
It's too vague. It's too, like, it's so, like even now, like, it's been around, like, a really, really long time, the CrossFit game, and they're still changing the rule every year.
Oh.
And they're still like,
okay,
the standard are never like the same. And there's just so much. And also CrossFit is a company, so you need to keep that in mind. It's not like mm-hmm. regulated by,
anything. Yeah.
Anything. Like it's mostly, at its core, it's entertainment and like a company that tries to sell fitness to people.
That's a great answer. So you think you don't think UFC should ever be in the Olympics either then, huh?
I don't think like UFC, but like the sport itself, if the regulation and the standard are like, cause UFC is different because it's the same thing. Like they always.
But don't they own the rights to cage fighting?
Yes, but like what I mean by that is that it's always a fight, right? It's like they both fight and someone wins. And CrossFit is like they bring new movements and then they're not sure what the standard of the movement is. And like then they change the standard next time because it didn't look like what they wanted it to look. And then
I'm sorry, I'm distracted by your dogs that are UFC fighting in the background.
they got the assignment. I just think it's too vague. And, I don't think like that UFC, the business should be at the Olympic, but like the fighting as a sport, yes.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes sense. Like to me, the company shouldn't be involved.
No, that wasn't the question. I'm sorry. That was a bad question on my end. For sure, don't think like CrossFit or UFC will ever, because the Olympics would never allow that. But the sport, for sure. And I like how you said that UFC is regulated. It's the same. You know it's going to be a fight. So it's different from CrossFit where you're saying that they're constantly changing the rules. And I did not know that because I'm still learning more about your sport. So very interesting take, because before you just explained that, I would have said personally that I think CrossFit should be an Olympic Games. But after you're saying that they're still changing the rules, then now it can't, because the competitions that have been in the Olympics, the rules have been pretty much unchanged for ages. And that's what it allows you have that you can compare and say, oh, this person won this Olympic medal with, this time or this standard, and they did it 20, 30 years ago. But if you're saying that they're always moving the bar, then I totally agree with you.
I mean, if you just look at, there's no CrossFit game that I've done that the event were the same. So how are you testing like that? Because there's like intangible like component that you're testing when you compete in CrossFit. And part of it is mental toughness and adaptability of the athlete and just like being able to get through the whole grueling weekend. But now if you're always giving them the same exact task, we're like removing a huge component of like variance and like being surprised and seeing like, we've never asked the athlete to do walk on their hand into a backflip. So who can do it? Who's going to be able to like just show up and on the flip of a switch, like show how athletic they are and that they've been working on like things that you never thought of. So you can't like you would have to remove all of that at the Olympic, and now it would become a test that is like, hopefully the best way to test something, but then that's all the athlete would do. You would only practice those, like, you know, 5 to 15 events, and like specifically now bias your training towards that. Well, now, like, when you train for CrossFit, you're biasing towards certain things that, you know, are always going to be there, right? You need, obviously, like, endurance, you need strength, you need, like, coordination, balance, accuracy. Like, you need all those things, and there's specific way of training that enhance those skill, but you're still, like, practicing random sport on the side in order to maybe be ready if they ask you to kayak.
Yeah. Well, I love that answer. Anybody who doesn't really know much about that now, I feel very well versed in it. So thank you so much for explaining that.
And now a message from Discover about customer service and common sense. When you have credit card questions, it's nice to have them answered by a real person. You know, someone who can actually understand your issues and work to resolve them. In other words, what you don't need is a robot. And that's why Discover offers helpful US-based representatives available 24/7. No wonder we call it live customer service. Discover, exceptionally common sense.
So Camille, you've had probably a ton of successes over your career. What would you say is your biggest one?
I think, like, so far my biggest one is my family, like my husband and my baby. Just, I think, like, being able to go through a lot of really, really hardship with my husband, and just both growing as better people together, like, that for me is my biggest thing. I feel so lucky that I'm married with my best friend.
Well, like, how long have you guys been together, and when did you guys meet?
So we've been married for 9 years, and we met through a competition in Tahoe, and I thought he was a jerk. And then we just never stopped being together. But I think, like, nurturing, like, relationship that makes you grow is a much underrated accomplishment, because there's no medal that come from it. There's no fame, and everyone can fake that they have a great relationship. But, like, everyone who's been with someone for this long, they understand, like, the work behind the scene and what it involves. And I think, like, that's something to be able to do that with someone. And that's
my real biggest accomplishment. Look, I'm not married, but I can't even make a 2-month relationship work. So 9 years is very long.
Yeah. Well, it has to be the right person. Like, I'm not saying, like, if you're in an abusive relationship, try to make it work and call it an accomplishment. Like, I'm very lucky that I'm married to my best friend and we're both willing to grow together.
Yeah.
But it's work.
When I actually still to hit you up for more relationship advice, since you guys obviously have the keys to success. So
you might not like some of my answer.
Hey, if it gets me out of the single streets, I'm listening.
Okay.
Okay. So if we're talking about your biggest success, which is having a healthy relationship, 9 years married, family, what would you say is, like, one of the hardest, like, your biggest failure?
I mean, failure is an interesting word, because I think, like, success is just like when you try to get pregnant and you get effed a lot of time before it works, and sometimes it doesn't work. So those are the failure, right? I think, you know, failure or lesson, but definitely, like, some of the hardest one have been, like, in my business and, like, not seeing certain behavior from other people happening, or even with, like, you know, when you're a professional athlete, like, people are trying to take advantage of you and you're all nice, and then you don't realize what's really going on behind the scene. So I developed, obviously, a lot of awareness having to go through, like, some really, really horrible things. I think in sport, like, every time I failed, it's been like a catalyst for, like, better for me, for growth. And same thing in my business, because it's always lesson learned. Like, I've done things that I like I was a professional athlete at like 20 years old, which like is so young, and you know, there's so much to learn. And I think like looking back, there's just like moment that I've like reacted a certain way, or I was a version of myself that like, you're like, just never, right? You're like, never again. Like I just, you know, almost wish I could take it away. But at the same time, it was important so I could see that this is not the person I want to be. And then you change and you grow. So I think like those are like what in myself, I like consider like kind of failure. I don't believe that failure is like doing poorly in a competition. Like that's not a failure. You just didn't show up. Or like, I think often people show up to compete and like they expect a miracle. And that just always like made me laugh. Like I just never understood that. Like every time, you know, I would go for like the CrossFit game qualification, I would always have people come to me and be like, I'm going to beat you. And I would just be, okay, do it. Like, but it's like, and then they would like expect something. Like, for example, like, you know how fast you can run, like, and you know what's your best. And like the miracle would be like running your best or like slightly tiny, tiny faster than that. But people showing up with like expectation of all of a sudden, I'm going to, you know, do a personal best of like 50 pounds on like a squat and like win the event. It's like, I just like, I don't know. I'm very realistic, I guess. So, you know, if you put the work in and you know, if you didn't and like just show up and you know, like I've had like regional where I had food poisoning and like, you know, another regional, like grandma got a stroke and like, there's just like been like things that has happened and I still showed up and I don't know. Yeah, failure is interesting. Like, I think how people see what as a failure. Like, if I mess up in an event, I was just not ready for that. So go back home, like pull back the drawing board and like, let's not have it happen again.
Hmm. I like it. You basically are just wanting people to remove failure from the vocabulary, from their vocabulary, which is strong. I think I agree with you. I feel like the failures I've had, I've just used as life lessons or just ways to get better or just get sharper in in regards to whatever I needed to get sharper in.
Yeah, so. I feel like failure comes with like like kind of a connotation of like shameful. Like you should feel bad that you didn't win, and it's like, what? Like this one winner. Do you know how hard it is? Like, and like, you're never going to achieve that win unless you like fail a million times first, because without failing, you don't know where you rank. Mm. So it's like, how are you supposed, like, for example, like, I guess like my business now is like helping people transform their body. And how do you know what's going to work for you if you don't do some things that might not work? And then you can like take those data, assess the data, and then keep moving forward. And it's kind of the same thing in like business and in training and in everything. It's like, okay, I'm doing this new strength program and I'm like being very like curious about it. I'm trying to learn about it. I'm like following all the data and it's not working. Okay, let's go back. Let's see why it didn't work. It was too much volume. It was too much of this. It was paired with like not enough of that. I didn't eat enough. And then you can like move on. It's like this little puzzle that you're always trying to solve, but you're going to take a lot of wrong paths before like you get the right path. And sometimes the right path, it just like falls on you. And some people think it's luck and you're like, no, it's not luck. I took like 1,000 paths and then I finally took the right one and I wasn't sure, but you know, it was it. So yeah, that's kind of how I see it.
I love it. I can see now why you won most enduring athlete for sure. I'm picking up some good tips here myself. So, I mean, honestly, I failed over and over for sure in my career and it's definitely shown me how to win. So I love that.
I think like the one thing that's really hard though, especially these days with social media and people like feeling like they are allowed to be so involved in your life, is that they love to try to tell you how you could have done something better or like judge you tremendously for what you're doing. And it's like, unless you're in the arena and you know what people are putting in, like, it's not a failure. It's like you go ahead and come, like, race, and you, there's something I think very impressive, and that we need to bring more attention to, and it's raising people for just showing up, because it takes tremendous courage to just show up and compete, and like whatever, doesn't, you know, to like go back to school when you're older, to like even just go to school, to like be willing to put yourself in a position of like learning and growth. It like really takes courage. And I don't know why. I think maybe it's like jealousy. Like people wish they did it. They wish they like kept pushing, and they're like, oh, this Camille's old news. She's never going to compete again. And it's like, well, if you knew me, you would know that I don't want to. Like, yeah. And I don't care. So it's not, you know, but I don't know why. It's like trying to like, I don't know. I'm not like that. So I guess that's why I don't get it. Maybe.
I have definitely noticed a transition, as you talked about on social media, about people wanting to just be like flaunting the failures more than like the successes. And like even I, so in track and field, I run the hurdles, which mm-hmm. is one of the most technical events, because mm-hmm. anything can happen. You can hit any of those hurdles. And I sometimes feel like half of our fans were watching to see us, you know, run a great track race. But then there's a lot of times I felt a lot of them were there just to see who's going to hit a hurdle, who's yes. going to fall on the track, who's going to have this nasty freaking fall. So
100%.
Totally understand what you're saying. And it's definitely more people are just feel very comfortable on social media, just giving their two cents. And I just really am inspired by what you said about it takes a lot of courage just to show up. Mm-hmm. Just to take that first step and put yourself out there, not even saying like, hey, we're not even at the part where we're like, okay, I can win or not. It's just like, I'm going to try this, you know, that's mm-hmm. a very, fearful thing. And, I always have this thing in my workouts for track and field, usually the hardest steps. And, my coach gives us a workout, and it's a really long running workout. The hardest steps are the first steps and the last steps.
Yep,
because the first step is you have all this anxiety of like, oh my gosh, is this workout going to hurt? Is it going to break me? Do I have the mental toughness? Do I have the physical toughness? And then the last step, because you're trying to finish, you know? So just like you said, getting started, and you know, a lot of people are always like, well, I want to get in shape. Like, what's your biggest, mm-hmm. what's your biggest advice to me? And I'm like, go to the gym, just take mm-hmm. the first step. And just, even if you don't work out, like I don't even give them a workout at first. I'm like, just go to the gym. Cause mm-hmm. half of the time they stop before they even get out the door mm-hmm. and they don't even put on the workout clothes. They don't even want to go to the gym. Like, it's just like, go to the gym. Just tell yourself, I'm just going to go to the gym. This is going to be my goal. And then start building up from there. So
yeah.
Love your advice about just showing up.
I think like it, people who judge themselves, like judge others a lot. But like for example, when I go to the gym, like I just do my thing and I grunt and I'm like, I just don't care. Like I just do my thing. Right. And I'm like the number one person who would never judge someone else. Like I said, like if someone show up to the gym, I'm like, hell yes, you're doing you. Like, and it's, but like also like it's like that person again, like it always impressed me, because you just show up there and people are going to be sitting and looking. And it's like anything that you do, and when you push and when you put your, you know, yourself further and further ahead, there's more and more people that just sit and watch and then mm-hmm. like try to tell you everything that you're doing wrong. And it's like, you don't know, because you're not with me doing it. Like, and I'm following, you know, my data and my progress and all of that. But it's interesting. But I think the bottom line is just to understand that, like, it's your life. So who cares? Do your own life and keep going. That's what I'm the most scared of, to go to bed and be like, I didn't do this because this, like, you know, random person on the internet, like, you know, made me feel bad about something silly that is not a, a real insecurity, but because they brought it up all of a sudden, like, I'm like, is this a bad thing? It's like, wait, just do your thing. Just live your life.
All right, now we're going to go back in time, and I got to know, where did you grow up? And also, what was your first memory of success in any sport?
Yeah, so I grew up in a super small town, so small that when I was about 12, they merged my town into another town because there wasn't enough people.
Oh, God. So did you guys have a stoplight? Was it that small?
No, I don't think there was one. And, like, it was, like a couple of streets and, like, farms. And there was, like, definitely more cows than, like, people. And then we merged into I legit think it was like two or three street. But first memory of success, I think it's like way different and definitely forged me in a different way because we were such a small town. Like I played every sports in my school pretty much. And we were bad. Like we were bad. Like, we always lost. And I think,
well, like, did you guys have enough people on your team? I mean, if it's such a small town.
No, we did. But like, I mean, like almost every girls were part of the team. Yeah. Right? We were so bad. And, you know, I think like for me, my first memory of success was just understanding that success came with the work you put in and not with the output. And that was what I had to hold on to because we literally always lost. So it was like, okay, how do I stop getting frustrated for like killing myself on the field all the time? And it was like, okay, I'm just like, if I have like, you know, a really good game, good. Like I, you know, I did my job and, yeah, that's like kind of what I remember. Like as far as I can go from sport was that. And then at a point, I started winning at other things, but it always came back to effort, which was what matters the most to me up to this day is effort and like mindset.
You're doing a lot of healing for me right now. I mean, cause I've definitely had, I mean, I've gone to three Olympics and never medaled, but your definition of success is effort. I mean, that makes me extremely proud of my accomplishments, even though I don't have an Olympic medal. So I think that you're going to provide some healing with people on that one.
Good.
And you said you actually went on to become successful in other things. So do you remember your first CrossFit competition experience?
Yeah, I did. Which is, it's so funny because, again, I'm from such a small town. So at first I couldn't, like when I qualified for my first CrossFit game, I couldn't go because I couldn't pay for my travel to get there. So my whole family pitched in so we could go. And when I went there, it was like the biggest thing ever, right? And I was so nervous. And when I used to be nervous, I would like always place my shirt, like just make sure my shirt. So before the first event, my twin was my coach, which is hilarious. She was literally just like trying to look at all the guys. And I remember she was like, give me your shirt. And I was like, what? You want me to go in a sport bra? And she was like, you're not placing your freaking shirt like on the field. So I was like, fine. So I remember I gave her my shirt and I was like, you know, super young and I was going to show my body on top of everything else. And I walked in the stadium and I was like, oh, there's so many people. And there was like 200 person, which is nothing. Like it was completely empty now looking back. And I just remember like it gave me back then, like it just like this like huge amount of hope that I could do like so much more, like with my life. It was like there is more out there than like where I grew up and like the thing I've been exposed to. And that was like a huge callus of like belief and hope that you can always be more and more. And that was my first
Were you memory. Successful in it? Like, how'd you do? Were you like...
I did amazing.
Oh.
Yeah, I did great. There's, you know, there's something about like no expectation and just like, like wanting to be your best and that you end up being your best. And then it's funny because you go back and back and you realize that as you change and you start putting pressure on yourself, like truly you have to go back to that first time and just enjoy yourself, have fun and like go with no expectation and just do your best. Mm. And then you do that and you're like, here we go. I did it.
I don't know if anybody's ever told you, but you are incredibly wise. You're dropping a lot of little nuggets here for anybody who's struggling, whether that's in business or sport. So really appreciate some of the knowledge you're dropping, especially, I mean, even me, I mean, I've been an athlete 18 years, and some of these things you're talking about are good reminders for myself to just go back to first time competing just to remove the pressure off, because you can get stuck in that. You can get stuck in the expectations. So it does help relieve a lot of weight, mm-hmm. and then you can perform better.
Yeah, the expectations are hard, though. I mean, when you become a professional athlete, because it's almost like I don't think people realize that at home, but there's like a point that you're providing not just for yourself, or like at least trying to, but all of a sudden you're providing for a lot of other people's family. And like there's like the pressure from like, you know, the company itself that they want you there because you bring, you know, people to come watch, like agent that like mm-hmm. wants you to have more sponsor because you pay the bill, like sponsor that like wants you to be there because you bring, you know, more view on them. And like there's a point where like you almost lose yourself because everyone is asking so much out of you. And like, even though it's great because that's how I paid my bill and everything, and I really love my sponsor, like most of them were amazing. They still had some bad apple here and there where you learn your lesson, sadly. But the pressure just changes as you move on, because it's like there's like some people out there, not all of them, obviously, but they just want to take, and you're like, wait, like, do you want me to win or do you want me to like do more, like, you know, on like all this other side that I don't truly care about? So it gets weird. And as you grow older, that's where you need to like come back to the drawing board and be, wait, who am I? What do I want to do? Okay, here we go. And then you do way better and everyone's happy.
Mm-hmm. Great advice. All this knowledge you're dropping. So who taught you your earliest lessons of success and failure? And like, what did they tell you?
When I was 18, I got like a big car accident. And I like opened my head and I was followed by a neurologist for like a year. Wow. And I was really scared, like, to lose a lot of my like intelligence. So that was like the same year that I was like starting, like the next, I guess that year was like the year prior of me starting chemical engineering. And I was so scared to fail because I could tell I was like a little slower. And I just started to work so hard because I was so scared of not being enough. That I ended up like my first year of having like one of the best grade. And then that work translated also in my, that was also my first year I started to do CrossFit. And I think like that was just a huge lesson of like really like when you work hard and like you're disciplined and dedicated, like you can do anything. You really can.
So basically it was, you're saying you taught yourself.
Yeah.
Well, that's I love that answer because I think we all need a little bit of self-motivation
through fear
to really
and
push ourselves. You know, yeah.
Through fear and anxiety.
Through fear and anxiety. Sometimes those are great motivators.
And like, again, like I was from a super small town and there was like no professional athlete there. There was like no one I could like really like be like, except my parents used to work a ton. Like my dad had two jobs and were four kids and my mom would like work full time and take care of us. And like they sacrificed a lot. So I guess I learned hard work and sacrifice by seeing them doing it all the time. But like that belief that you can do anything, like that happened later. Like I think like kind of with that accident and then, followed like that next year was the year I qualified for my first CrossFit game. And then I had good grade at my school. And it was just like such a shift of mindset that like hard work, like like is really the key to a lot.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. I've definitely run against a lot of talented athletes and more talented than me. And yeah. I just honed in on working hard, trying to make sure I took no shortcuts.
Yep.
And being able to beat those athletes that were more talented than me was a solid foundation for working hard. Really does help you to achieve so much that you can't do in your own strength. So
I just think anyone can, I mean, almost anyone can do anything. There's also a part that is like trying to discover like your gift, which, because there's like, I feel like I did every sport, right? I think like when I used to do gymnastic, and when I stopped, I was just like, what's next? Like, what's going to spark something in me? And I think it's important to like also grab that, like when you find that nugget of passion, of spark, like really just go all in and put your hard work there. If you want to be, you know, I don't know, if you're like, I want to be a singer, it's going to be amazing. And you don't really have a spark, and you're more looking into like the, you know, the fame or like the views or something like that. It's like, I just don't see how like it's going to connect, because you need like a tremendous amount of passion, and you need to be like obsessed, like you need to be addicted to your craft, I think, in order to like sustain the mundane and amount of work, because it's not, I don't think people understand what it is, like that the work I'm talking about, it's so mundane, it's so boring, it's like super disciplined, but I don't think it is, because in my head it's always like for example, like if I would, every time I would work out, it would be like, what if I put my hand just like slightly out here, and then like I would be, oh, okay, I can feel like it's going more in my lat and less here. So if I do a workout that's paired with like deadlift that use more my lat, like let's go with my hand more narrow, because then I'll use more bicep, and then I'll rest my lat for this. And then if I do this workout and I'm squatting and I'm running, like running is really taxing on my hamstrings, so if I squat with my feet more narrow, it's going to go in my quad. And then you just like keep like, it's like this constant like in your head.
Attention,
like,
to detail.
Yeah. And I think it's hard to do if you don't have like the tremendous passion and curiosity for it. Like to me, that was super exciting. And for other people, they just think if you show up and just put the work in, it's going to happen. But it's more than just the work. It's like, yeah, I don't know how to explain. Like,
no, you explained it great. Right, it's word. Definitely attention to detail for sure. And you have to have passion. Otherwise, what is boring seems boring. So
yeah, it becomes this like huge, like chores. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say that word.
Not trying to throw anyone under the bus, but this is one of my favorite questions to ask. What is your best advice and worst advice anyone has ever given you?
So I think worst advice is pretty much anyone who don't know what they're talking about coming into your world. But I had some a good one, like you shouldn't stop. When you compete, like, you know, you stop because you're literally dying and you can't breathe. And they're like, you know, if you didn't stop, you would have won. You're like, no shit. Wow. Or like, I had like, do what you're doing, but better. So funny.
Was this your sister coaching you when she was checking out the guys? No, I'm just joking.
yeah, pretty much. That could have 100% been her. Best advice, I had a lot of good one. One of the best one ever was from my husband. There's something about like when I won the CrossFit game, very scary about being about to achieve your goal, like very scary, because that's the thing you're running towards all this time and it's about to come and you're like, what's going to happen like on the other side of this? Because that's what I've been like going after for like, you know, a really long time at that point. And he told me, allow yourself to be great. And it was like, just this like, just this, like, it's okay. Like, it's okay to achieve. It's okay to be great. Like,
yeah,
you can just go. And that was definitely something that helped me a ton after being willing to start my business, being willing to start anything that I like to do, because it's okay. You're allowed to like be happy. You're allowed to be great. You're allowed to do things for yourself. Like, you're allowed to forgive yourself. You're allowed to forgive like a version of yourself that you used to be, like, and just like this allowance. Like, it was the first time that someone told me like, you can allow yourself to, and it was like, oh, like light bulb in my head. And then I was great.
Well, Camille, it has been so much fun having you on the podcast, and as well as your daughter in the background.
Yes, she's
the best. And I honestly got so much inspiration from this conversation, and I know a lot of other people will as well. Thank you for coming on here.
Thank you.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.